It's the Reality TV Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar. Because you can't spell Parhar without R-H-A-P.
R-H-A-P.
Reality TV Happy Hour. Reality TV Happy Hour.
Big Brother Canada 4 has come to a close, which means it's time for another edition of the Reality TV Happy Hour. What's going on, everybody? My name is Jordan Parhar, and I'm with you once again to recap the latest edition of Big Brother Canada 4 on robhasawebsite.com. And at the start of the show, I just wanted to give you guys a quick little disclaimer. I was scheduled to be talking to Jason Roy from Big Brother 17 today, again, after rescheduling last week. Last week, I had to reschedule because of my work and school schedule, and I had to change the podcast to Thursday, so Jason wasn't able to make that. We rescheduled to today, and I just, before we got started, got a message from Jason saying he was unable to make it tonight. So, unfortunately, no Jason tonight, but that's okay, because we've got the live feed correspondents joining us on this fabulous May the 4th be with you day. It's a Star Wars day, everybody. I've got my Darth Vader shirt. We can't really see it because the graphic is covering it, but there you
go. I can see it.
Star Wars fans. A very, very lovely day. So Brent Walcombe, I can see it. Brent, let's start with you. How are things going for you? You called me Jared in the pre-show, so...
As I do often, yes.
Yes, off to a good start.
I just got back from Florida. I'm totally caught up on the feeds. The feeds have been great. I'm ready to talk about it. I actually think this works out great. I mean, I love Jason. But considering it's such a feed-heavy week with a lot of information, I think it's great that all three of us are here.
I would agree with that statement. Alex Kidwell, you're looking real fresh. Do you agree with that statement?
Yeah, definitely. I don't know why I'd be looking fresh right now. I'm kind of tired, but yeah, I'm here. I'm ready to talk about this stuff, Jordan. I wasn't expecting to be. I was expecting to be watching the premiere of The Challenge right now, but hey, don't say I never do anything for you.
I will not, Alex, so thank you very much. I appreciate it. And yeah, that's right, The Challenge is on tonight, so don't forget to check out The Challenge Wrap Up with Brian and Ali. That should be up hopefully sometime within the next few days. Go to robhasawebsite.com/wrapups if you're into MTV's The Challenge. And last but not least, he moved, and he was with us on Sunday. He's working overtime again. Taryn Armstrong, how are you doing, man?
I was doing good until Alex talked about The Challenge, and I just feel like he's been collaborating with The Challenge too much. I feel like he's starting to betray our Big Brother alliance, and I'm just really upset about it.
Oh, wow. That's could this be the end of the live feed correspondence? Is this over? Is Taryn leaving? Oh, my goodness. This
Girl,
is,
bye.
No. We all enjoy this and need this too badly.
whoa!
That got really sad and deep.
Yeah, very sad and deep at the same time.
Well, you know, that's my go-to. That's what I do.
Okay, well, before things get off the rails too much, let me set things up for you guys. We are live on robhasawebsite.com on YouTube. So if you want to get a question in, leave a comment on the YouTube video below. You can subscribe while you're there. You can subscribe to Reality TV Wrap Up so you never miss an episode on YouTube of the show. And you can also tweet us questions as well. You can tweet me. I'm at Jordan Parhar. Make sure you use hashtag RaHappyHour. That's the hashtag I search when I'm looking for the questions because I'm not really a boss. I don't really have a fancy way of looking at them. I literally just type in the hashtag as the show is happening and look and read those. So if you got any, send them our way. We've got lots of good stuff to talk about. And this should be a really fun show. So, guys, we are going to talk about the episode first. Don't know how much we are going to get into the episode, though, because there is a lot of stuff that has been happening on the live feeds. First off, I mean, we got to talk about this really epic meltdown by Joel in the competition. I mean, really, it seems like very similar to a certain alliance situation last season. A lot of miscommunication between Joel and Tim and Cassandra, leading Joel to help help Phil in the competition, which angers Tim. Tim ultimately wins the veto, and he is understandably, a little bit upset. At least from my perspective, I can get why he was very angry. Alex, do you think Tim's reaction was justified?
It's hard to know how much of that was edited, but based on what we saw, it looked like a pretty overt, handoff from Joel to Phil, and there was like a little back and forth where Phil's like, I need that one. And Joel's like, well, I need it too. He's like, no, I need it more. And then Joel gives it up. Like, that's a terrible look. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of stuff in there that would make me very suspicious if you're Tim. And ultimately, even if you have like just a little bit of inkling of doubt at this point, it's so late in the game. Like, I mean, he's kind of right. There's really very little upside in like just allowing yourself to just completely put your fate in someone else's hands at this stage, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it is final five. So, I mean, it's a very important stage of the game, and they're at the point now where you really can lone wolf it, take the Godfrey strategy, and do what it needs to happen to get to the end. Taryn, what do you think really happened in that competition with Joel handing Phil the puzzle piece or whatever? Do you think that Joel was just panicked? I mean, was he actually trying to kind of play both sides in the competition? What really happened there? Because like Alex is saying with the edit, it was a little confusing to me.
I think he panicked. I think that he was trying to I think that they handed him pieces at first, and he was like, oh, this is great. I'm gonna play them. They're gonna give me pieces. It's gonna be a great moment when I stab them in the back. But then when it came to like turnaround and they were asking for pieces from him, he was like, I don't know what to do here. And his default was just to give in. And he was probably like, oh man, I'm regretting that in the moment, but like I just need to continue on, and then hopefully it'll benefit me in the future. But obviously, if somebody like Tim sees that, that's going to be like major red flags, you know, blaring. Granted, if I'm Tim, I'm gonna win that competition regardless. I'm not going to let it go to Joel and Phil in the final round on the hopes that Joel wins for me. I'm gonna take my own fate into my own hands and go to the final round, whether or not I think Joel is with the other side.
Brent, we saw Tim Tim was really going on this, I am the only freak show in this game, and doing this whole thing. And I mean, he really carried that through until the veto ceremony. At least that's what it seemed like on the episode. How long did Tim go off on this whole, I don't know if we want to call it a rampage, but this whole, I don't know. What do we call that, Brendan? Hissy fit? I don't know.
I mean, he was just he was acting like the cock of the walk. I mean, he had just won the veto. He thought he had snuffed out somebody who was, in his eyes, trying to stab him in the back, and Joel. He thought Joel was working with the other side when he wasn't. So he's got his dandruff up. You know, his dander up. Sorry, I always screw that up.
Dandruff up?
Right? I know.
He does have long hair. I mean, it's possible that he's got...
Right? Yeah, Joel has all hair out to here. Anyway, so the point being that I think it went on long enough that the brothers were really irritated. And I think that was a really charitable version of the events, because based on what I heard from the brothers after the veto competition, Tim like wouldn't shake their hand. Like, I guess they reached out to shake his hand, and he basically blew them off, and they were like, he's being a bad sport. And you hear Phil going off about like, you know, well, Big Brother wanted him to win that competition, although I see no way how that was true. I mean, if anything, it seemed like they might have rigged it against him because everybody else could work together. Look, here's the thing. Joel's big mistake, his many, many, many mistakes this week, number one, was not communicating with his alliance, and I do believe he was true to the Threak Show, that he had successfully snowed Kelsey and the brothers into helping him during the veto competition. All he had to do was go to Tim and Cassandra and say, look, you know, I've got them. They think I'm on their side. They're going to work with me and help me win the veto. So don't be alarmed if you see me working with them, because I'm really on your side. As far as I know, he never, ever did that. And that's where all this miscommunication started from.
Alex, I mean, we saw Joel, I mean, yes, and as Brent said, I mean, it does seem like there was a big, major miscommunication here. We saw Joel, Joel was getting upset at Tim as well, because Joel was saying, hey, like, look, I was supposed to be in the finals, I should have won. But, I mean, Joel can't really expect Tim to just give him the competition, can he? Especially when he's sitting on the block at this stage of the game?
No, yeah, and I think that, you know, speaks a little bit to, you know, some legitimate criticisms of Joel's game. Like, there are definitely some things Joel's saying and some, you know, some things he was saying to Kelsey that are just not the kind of arguments we'd expect a super fan like Joel to be making, like stuff about, like, you know, I feel like I haven't won anything, so people aren't going to want to let me get farther. Dude, you know that's reverse logic if you've been watching this game. Like, that's backwards. People want to let people get farther who can't win things. So, like, just to hear him, you know, talk in some of these moments, it just really feels like his nerves got the best of him in this situation where, like, really for the first time in the game, screws were really put to him. Because I don't think there's really any other explanation for some of the things he said. Like, you know better than the arguments you're making. You know what I mean? We know that you know that.
Yeah, I also found that to be so strange because I was just like, wait, like, he's really trying this? I just... Very, very confusing for me.
But, JP, I mean, it's important to point out, though, that Kelsey and the brothers, they bought it. You know, they were
That was the craziest thing, Brent, is that they bought it.
Well,
and
exactly.
I couldn't believe that. I mean,
and the thing, I mean, you know, I don't take a whole lot of notes, but the thing I wanted to make sure that you guys notice in this episode is if you see nothing else, you see exactly how much Kelsey and the brothers trust Joel in this episode. It's one thing if you don't trust somebody. If you don't trust somebody and they stab you in the back, you're like, well, I knew I should have never trusted them. If you trust somebody and then you later find out that they're lying to you, it hurts so much more because you feel like you've been had. So just notice in this episode that Joel has the trust of Kelsey and the brothers, and that, you know, as now that he's been put on the block, he's going to have to fight for his life. And it's Big Brother. Anything can happen. So he really needs to be careful of his position in the game here.
Most definitely. Taryn, let's talk about Cassandra a little bit. I mean, at the end of the episode, we really saw Cassandra get emotional. She was really upset. I mean, we haven't really seen this side of Cassandra too much on at least the edited version of the show up to this point. Cassandra said that her dream, she was really arguing to him saying, hey, my dream is to win this game. Had she ever brought that up before that moment? Because I was a little surprised to see that.
No, not really. I mean, it's obviously not something that anybody who's good at the game is going to want to talk about that much. But I think that, you know, and something that they didn't see, that they didn't show in the episode, was that Tim had been talking to Cassandra about, like, yeah, I might use it on you. And that's why she was going down that, like, using that angle of, like, you know, you said you were going to do this. You've talked about how you don't care about winning. I care about winning. You've talked about laying down for me near the end. Like, why don't we make this happen? You know, this is what we've always talked about. But, you know, Tim wasn't really interested in that. And he claimed it was because of what happened with Joel, and now, you know, thinking that there are no solid alliances, so he has to go his own way. I think he wouldn't have used it anyway, you know, no matter what had happened.
Correct.
Okay, yeah, I mean, right, why would he? Okay, let's take a few questions quickly before we jump into the spoilers, because I really do want to get into the spoilers. But for those of you who don't want to hear the spoilers, I want to give you guys at least a fair chance to hear us talk about a couple of things. So this one comes from DC Sox 721. They say, why didn't Joel start throwing the freak show under the bus the second Kelsey won HOH? Have to look after yourself only at this point. Brent, what do you think about this? I mean, I think it's a decent point. Why not do that? Is it that he just really feels a sense of loyalty to those guys?
Yes, I think ultimately Joel is not the gamer that we took him to be when we first started watching this season. He's not Steve. He's not somebody who's inside of his own head thinking, oh, I can't wait, you know, to do this. I'm going to do this to these people. I think he really does have a bigger heart that you really can't have exposed when you're playing this game. He inexplicably, you know, talks to people who I think he shouldn't be talking to. He just wears his heart on his sleeve. You heard him talk about how much he loves Cassandra and it kills him to be on the block with her. You know, and this should be an easy week for Joel. I mean, Cassandra should clearly go home. Tim and Cass have been working together. So, you know, it shouldn't be that hard, and yet Joel seems to be just broken up about it. I'm like, you know, I think you were stupid to want to take Cassandra to the end of the game anyway, so I don't know why you're all broken up about it. Again, he's just a really big-hearted guy. He gets emotional to the point that it irritates me, and I don't really care for it.
It's a tough game, Brent. It's a tough game. I feel for Joel. I mean, I've been in that spot before. Once you get in there, you really do form really strong bonds with these people. when you're with them all the time. So I get it where he's coming from at least. But, yeah, I think definitely, you know, I think looking back, I think he probably would regret having that much loyalty at least. This one is from Alana Gordon. Alana Gordon says, "This episode felt like a Roman Reigns level of a push for Joel. Alex will know what that means. Definitely could have done without Carly Rae Jepsen," or Jolie Rae Jepsen is what Alana's saying. Alex, for those listeners that are not WWE fans, please enlighten them onto who Roman Reigns is.
All right, I'll try not to take over the whole episode right now with my wrestling talk. That's the danger here by opening this Pandora's box you've done here, Jordan. But Roman Reigns is The Rock's first cousin. And, you know, wrestling's at a stage now where everyone knows it's scripted. And people who watch it enjoy it because it's really an action soap opera, really. It's about, you know, it's Shakespeare in the round with fighting. You know what I mean? And so we know that the outcome's predetermined, but we want to see a compelling story. And essentially what they've been doing with The Rock's cousin is just shoving him down the fans' throats. Like, it's a predictable win every time. He's standing tall against insurmountable odds all the time. He's just billed to be the good guy. And you hear his interviews backstage, and he sounds like kind of a douche in real life. And it's just, there's a disconnect now with wrestling fans between what they're selling us and what we're ready to buy. You know what I mean? So I guess this idea applies to Joel in that they're really pushing Joel's hero edit. We get a Rambo montage where he's doing, jump rope and all this stuff. And then, he fall pretty unceremoniously flat in the competition. And then, you know, it really is a big disconnect between, like, the Joel that they're selling us and the Joel who just played that competition.
Yeah, I had someone over the weekend tell me that I was the Roman Reigns of RHAP, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's like a huge insult, but at the same time, it was pretty creative, so I thought it was like pretty funny. Darren, let me ask you this. I mean, for me, watching those segments of Joel, because we really got three Joel segments in a row that didn't give us anything. I mean, we had, as Alana mentioned, we had the Carly Rae Jepsen thing, which was like for 2 minutes, which I was mad about because I had a much better Drake lip sync last year in the HOH lockdown that never made the episode, but alas, we'll continue. I'll stop my bitterness. So there was that. There was the TV show Unreal, which was like so short, but then it was like, oh, there's the Joel and Nick date thing, and then there was, yeah, Joel getting pumped up for the competition. Was there nothing on the feeds before this? I mean, Jordan Chong on Twitter was asking me this during the show, Taryn. I feel like there had to have been something better than that.
Not really, honestly. You know, for a long time, it feels like it's been very stagnant on the feeds. It's been very straightforward. You know, this person wins, these people are going to go home. This person wins, these people are going to go home. And there hasn't been much wiggle room. And I feel like this episode was kind of like the setup to Joel's fall in the POV. And I feel like they have a real soft spot in their hearts for Joel because they were pushing him a lot early in the season. And so they kind of feel like this is his big moment where he falls from grace, and we're going to build him up beforehand so that it makes more impact when he does fall from grace.
Yeah, that makes sense. It almost seemed like a Survivor episode when I was watching it. But I mean, I was going to compare it to
Rupert's boot episode. Rupert's boot episode in Pearl Islands, where like it's the whole thing is just geared toward Rupert and building him up, and then like just the crash when he gets voted out. Spoilers for Pearl Islands.
Wait, wasn't that the entire Survivor Pearl Island season though?
Well, the episode itself too was like that's one of my favorite edited episodes of Survivor, just because like the whole thing like foreshadows the betrayal and the fall of Rupert. It's so great. Everyone should watch it.
And the lizard or the snake eating the big thing and open up its mouth and it swallows the big fat thing. Yeah, exactly. That's basically yeah. So much for your dreams, Rupert. Bye.
Check out
it's epic.
Check out Survivor Pearl Islands if you haven't watched Survivor before. Seriously, if you like Big Brother, you will like Survivor. It's basically just Big Brother outside. It's great. Definitely check it out. But I think we've talked enough about the episode because there's been a lot of crazy stuff going on. So if you do not want to know the spoilers, I'm sorry, but now is the time in which we will bid you farewell. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. Don't forget to subscribe to the Rehappy Hour. Go to robbizwebsite.com/Rehappy Hour. We will be back. I will be back Sunday night after the episode, this upcoming Sunday, after the eviction. We're really going to be getting down to the nitty-gritty. I don't know what the schedule is going to be yet, so not going to say anything yet. You guys will just have to show up and see who the guest is and what the situation is. We'll see you there Friday. Don't forget to join Rob Cesternino. He's going to be joined with Kevin Martin and Alex Kidwell to talk about the eviction, and he'll also have an exit interview for you as well. Okay, here we go. Spoiler time.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Brent, fill us in. What has happened on the feeds lately? Because on the show tonight, it really seemed like Cass was going to go. Taryn, Willow, and I were talking on Sunday. It really seemed like Cass was going to go, but it sounds like some things have been changing.
Right, and before, and I just want to let everybody know, and people have been talking to me on Twitter, like they're like, I hope you take Joel to task. And I am going to take Joel to task. But before I take Joel to task, I'm going to take Mr. Taryn Armstrong to task, because your ass said earlier this week and last week, I don't like it when it's all about the competitions. It's all about the competitions at this point. This is so boring. Bitch, it is not about the competitions.
It's still about the competitions.
Tim and Cass are freaking amazing players,
Even
though the competition said otherwise, that they were going to be one of the people that was voted out this week, they have somehow, some way, managed to get themselves out of an impossible situation and managed to get the guy who you all said would win the game in Joel almost out of the house. If the eviction were held right now, he would be voted out. I am very, very – I feel very, very strongly that he will be voted out tomorrow. But it's Big Brother and anything can change. But Kelsey seems dead set on it at this point, and we're going to break down how it happened. But I just wanted to say at the top, it's not all about the competitions if you have great players in the house. So there.
If they were great players, the brothers would be gone this week. They're not great players. The brothers are really dumb players.
Okay, hold on. We'll get into that in a bit. Let's first set up what exactly happened. Alex, how did we get from the veto ceremony where Tim says he's going to use it on him and basically Joel's dead to him in this game, yada, 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 to the point where we're at now in which Cass is somehow alive in this game?
You saw the beginnings of it in the episode there. Yes. Joel wanted to protect Cass, and Joel's not thinking. Like, it's five people left. You can't protect Cass and protect yourself. There's just no way. Once he sticks his neck out there and starts seeming fishy, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't well sold. It was kind of transparent, and it's like, again, you're trying to get Kelsey to put up the brothers, and it's just it wasn't really playing. You know what I mean? And it just comes off again like he's playing both sides. The more he does, the more he goes from being the pawn to the target. You know what I mean? It's like he can't help but get in his own way right now. And then when it started to seem like the tide was turning against him, then it got way worse. And then he started trying to, like, double time, campaign and do all this stuff to really, like, solidify and, maintain what he had. And, it was like sand slipping through his fingers. He just couldn't, like, hold on to anything.
Right.
Taryn, was it – so it never was a consensus that Cass was going home. Cass just thought she was going home. Is that what it was? Because I did see a conversation between Joel and Cassandra outside the pool. I believe this was on Sunday night where Cass was like, yeah, I'm going home, whatever. And Joel really felt bad, but I think Joel was pretty confident he was staying, and then he was saying, yeah, I just don't want to be looked at as, you know, the big screw up that Jordan Parhar was last season. I really don't want to be like that, but I don't know. Joel's not really looking so good right now. This isn't good.
Yeah, he's looking very JP right now.
Well, yeah, especially because as BB President points out in the chat, Cass was going home. She had a conversation with Kelsey where Kelsey was like, "Yeah, I'm sorry, you're going home."
Exactly.
Until Joel shot himself in the foot with a bazooka. Like talking about how he wants to self-evict for Cass, you know, just completely avoiding Kelsey and the brothers, not telling them what they want to hear, you know, and Cass obviously like playing ball. That's all she had to do was play ball with Kelsey because Joel wouldn't do it. So when Kelsey's playing ball and Joel isn't, Kelsey's like, well, maybe I should just keep Kelsey or keep Cass because why not? Cass might keep me and Joel might not. Then Joel has this – when Joel finally campaigns, he has this house meeting, and he tells Kelsey, you're my target next week. I'm going to evict you next week if I'm here. Kelsey, the person who is in control of his fate, he tells her that he's going after her. And it's like she's the one person that you need on your side to stay this week, and you're telling her that you're going after her. Like what are you thinking? It's insanity. Like
right.
For me, like to say that I should have predicted this is also insanity.
Well, like before we get to the part about Joel's terrible house meeting today, can we at least acknowledge the gameplay of Tim and Cassandra to separate themselves enough in the eyes of Kelsey and the brothers and successfully snow them into thinking that if Cass stays, number one, she has agreed to their demand that she throw the HOH competition, which I believe she has no intention on doing, okay? Number two, she has told Kelsey and the brothers that she will 100% vote out Tim, that she's done with Tim, that you saw what Tim did. I actually think that Tim's little rampage at the end of the veto competition, though not intended to help Cass, I think is helping Cass because it separated enough where Cassandra essentially gets to play the victim and say, you know, look how I've been betrayed by everybody. I did everything for everybody, and I've not been repaid for that loyalty. So Kelsey then sees that. And, you know, and the other thing, too, is that Cass has done a good job of successfully pointing out to Kelsey that if Joel is the one who's evicting, remember, Kelsey can't play for HOH, so she'll be in the pool of three people who could possibly go home next week. If Joel wins the veto, he's going to save the brothers and evict Kelsey. If Cass wins the veto, she's going to save Kelsey and evict the brothers. So Kelsey knows this, and that Kelsey now realizes, you know what, if I keep Cass, I should be safe on all three sides. Like, I should be fine. So, like, Tim and Cass have done a great job of separating themselves, like I said. They did make a little bit of a mistake where after they got some of the work done, they started to talk a little bit and saw Nick and Kelsey start to rethink things a little bit. But then Cass realized it, to her credit, you know what, I don't think we should hang out very much anymore. And they've managed to stay apart enough while secretly working together to make sure that they save each other going into next week. Tim has helped her out by saying, you know, don't overwater the seeds. You've planted enough seeds today. If you overwater them, they won't grow. I love the way he talks about the game. I was really impressed with Tim's work this week, not only in being selfish enough to win the veto, but also in helping his ally Cassandra successfully snow the other two people. I only pray that it ends up working.
Okay, Taryn, you've got something you want to say. Let's hear what you got to say, Taryn.
Okay, right, let's hear him dog Cassandra and Tim. Go ahead.
It's not about dogging them. It's okay. About I feel as though the level of play has been so low, you know, for a while in this season that we're seeing people not make really dumb mistakes or not make too many dumb mistakes, and we're seeing that as like great gameplay when really they're just doing what an above average player should always be doing, and the other side is doing terrible things. Where like all Cass and Tim need to do is tell Kelsey and the brothers what they want to hear, and it's the right move for Kelsey to go with them when Joel is telling her that he's coming after her, and the brothers are just doing whatever Kelsey tells them to do. So like I don't mean to take credit away from Cass.
Then why
and Tim.
Are you?
Because I don't mean to take it away from them in the sense that like this isn't their doing at all, but I don't think this is like some master manipulation where they got these people to do something that was against their best interest. They just did what they should have been doing, and the other side did terrible things.
I can't buy that. Based on what was coming into this week, and I'm sorry to step on your time, Alex, here, but like based on this week, it was clear that Tim or Cass needed to go home. They were clearly working together.
Cass had just used
the veto on Tim. They all saw they were all stabbed in the back by Cass, and now somehow they've gotten Kelsey and the brothers to successfully think that Cass will not work with Tim going forward. I think it's brilliant, and I really think that because of Cass and the way she
that
presents
vote was
herself,
slipping back without that meeting, that house meeting.
What'd you say?
That vote was flipping back without Joel's house meeting telling Kelsey he was going after her.
I still think it was dicey.
Okay, hold on. Okay, let's you know, Alex has been very patient. So, you know what, we've heard both sides of this argument. Alex will grant you the Judge Judy powers in this scenario. Alex, who is right, Brent or Taryn?
Well, you know, I did tweet earlier today that I thought Joey from Big Brother 16 would be a mastermind on this season. So
exactly.
I think
exactly.
That says something about where my feelings lie. Ultimately, I think Cass is a very, very, very good player. But I think everyone this season has demonstrated massive, massive flaws on a level that we don't often see from the finalists of a game. Like, certainly, you know, there's – you know, Vanessa wasn't doing any of the, you know, just like slips of the tongue that Cass has done throughout the season. Like, there's just certain things that, you know, great player. And relative to this season, amazing player. Relative to Maddie's? Are you kidding? Yeah. And Raul's? Get out of here. She's fantastic. But, you know, like, I'm not ready to say, like, she's better than Netta if she wins, or she.
I never said like, that. I just
no,
want to give her
not.
Some props. Come on.
I know you're not.
Brent is not, but Alex, there are people that are saying that, though.
Quantify, like, if Cass wins, how good is her game? If she doesn't win, how good a player is she? I think that, like, the quality of talent comes into play here. I think it would have been really interesting to see Cass play last season. Maybe just see last season without the twists in general. But, I mean, it just would have been interesting because I think the level of game IQ last season was much higher, like 30, 40 points higher.
Yeah, and I will say, like, I've seen people talk about, like, if Tim wins, he enters the great pantheon with like Dan and Will, and it's just like I feel like we're judging them at a higher standard than we should be.
Yeah, and I think part of it with Tim is that he's won Australia already, so people are like, well, look, he won twice. Well, I mean, yeah. Oh, my God. But it's like it's a different game. I mean, I personally – I wouldn't put Tim – I mean, in terms of my Big Brother players of all – best North American Big Brothers players of all time, I don't think I would put Tim in my top 10. I mean, maybe I'm
Jordan,
too low on him, but I don't know. Brent, go ahead.
What I wanted to say was I don't think that we should judge the level of play based on their competition because, you know, I look at Dan, Big Brother 14, and, you know, he played a maestro of a game against really, 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 really terrible people who did not know what they were doing, with maybe the exception of Ian, but even Ian was snowed at times. So, Dan's level of play, I still look at that and go, that was freaking amazing, the funeral and how he got out of that and how he flipped it around. It was just, I loved watching it. And, you know, yeah, those people were stupid. Frank was stupid for buying that. Gen City was stupid for going on Slop Forever and then, you know, going against what she wanted to get the veto for in the first place. But, I don't think we should dump on somebody's gameplay based on the level of the competition that they're playing against. Cass's playing a great game. It's not her fault that everybody else is playing badly.
I don't think that's what I'm doing because I'm not saying that they're good. I'm not saying they're good relative to their cast. I'm saying looking at their game individually, there are a lot of times where they had to get really lucky in order to move forward, like with the Mitch twist and
thing. For the night.
And there were plenty of mistakes that they've made that I can point at, you know, in their own game, regardless of the competition around them, where they should have been in a bad spot, but okay. You know, things just kind of worked out.
Before
just
we go
when,
further,
just when you thought you weren't going to hear the M word tonight, Brent.
Right, there I know. I thought we were almost there. Jordan, can we?
I had to bring
about...
it up once somebody started pointing it out. I had to bring it up every episode.
Okay, cool. Jordan, can we at least talk about Joel and his bad gameplay this week?
Yeah, yeah. Well, hold on. Brent, okay. Let's get into this because, I mean, basically, so it's very interesting, right? I mean, I thought Joel As soon as I heard the news Sunday, I thought, okay, Joel is 100% safe. There's no way he's going home. Cass is going to go home. She screwed over Kelsey and the bros. They're going to get rid of her. It's as simple as that. But now we're in a spot where, yeah, Joel has really screwed things up. Alex, I mean, how did Joel – so Joel – let's go back to this house meeting. So Joel tries to have this house – he wants to have this house meeting today or this – I saw people calling it a presentation. If Alex, tell me this. If Joel would have said, hey, Kelsey, next week, if I have an opportunity to save you and get rid of the – to save you, I will get rid of the brothers or whatever. Kelsey flips at that point, no?
I mean, yeah, all he had to do was say, like, I'm getting rid of Tim if I have – you know what I mean? Tim is, like, the easy – like, Tim's voting to keep Cassandra anyway. You know what I mean? It's just, like, it's an easy, easy thought process. So just say I'm getting – Tim is my target next week. Tim has come out. Tim outed this alliance. I didn't – you know, there's plenty of ways to do it. I just feel like, you know, he spent a lot of the week very mopey and very down on himself. And
trying
then,
to quit.
Yeah, I mean, they're right. We haven't even talked about that, but, like, there was a lot of speculation that Joel was just going to bow out of this game at Final Five. Like, that's absurd, man. I'm sorry. Like, that's a level of, like, lack of competitiveness that I'm just, like, shocked by. Like, that's really rough. But just to elaborate a little bit. But, like, all right, go ahead. Say what you
got. Okay. No, Alex, I'll give it to you. What do you want? You haven't got much time tonight. Alex, you haven't got much time tonight. Let's keep going.
I just think it all compounded to, like, lead to this, yeah, like, presentation, I guess, that just had no confidence. And it just, like, you know, like, the first rule of public speaking is to know your audience. Know who you're trying to deliver a message to and craft your message to fit that audience. Joel was like, I mean, it was boring for me to listen to, and I love this game. Like, he's just compounding a list of, like, varying things, and he kept coming back, well, I know that applies to me too, but it also applies to Cass, and, like, it just was not any of the things, like, if you're going to do the house meeting route, you got to do what, like, Mitch tried to do, what Dan did, create a spectacle, blow things up, make it into, it's not about the meeting so much as the atmosphere the meeting creates. You create an atmosphere where you're like a pariah, and now it's conducive to people thinking, like, wow, no one wants to work with that guy now. You know what I mean? It just, it gets people's wheels turning. And that's what that needed to do, and what it did instead was really just kind of put people to sleep. And then Nick asked the vital question, who are you going to target next? And he said Kelsey. I mean, that's really just when it all went downhill.
So yeah, Brent, I mean, it seems like if Joel would have just told a few lies, he would have been fine. But instead, just based on how I'm looking at it, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like Joel is still feeling kind of guilty about the whole Threak Show thing. And he's trying to, like, win them back or something, or prove his loyalty. And by saying the brothers, but then this just, like, completely screamed. Like, what?
I don't know.
What's he thinking? Do we know
what he's thinking? He's not thinking. That's the thing. He's too emotional. He's not only threatened to quit the game once. He's threatened to quit it twice. He's tried to do it twice this week. I think it was Monday or maybe Sunday. Monday maybe. He was packing his bag already. He had the little. He was talking about packing, and then I think it was yesterday. He was like, he had the little plastic bag with all his toiletries packed, and he went in the diary room for like 2 hours, and then they cut the feed some, and then it came back, and eventually he came back in the house. But I really thought he was going to quit. Really, you know, stick in the eye of the game at that point. The thing that he's been doing, which is crazy to me, is he has been weirdly honest with Cassandra. Cassandra is the nominee you're trying to get booted out of the house. She's on the block with you. She's throwing you under the bus. But instead, he's basically telling her all of his plans. He's telling her all of his secrets. He's being, like I said, weirdly honest with her. And then he's not good at lying. And I really think that this house meeting was a joke, because not only did it expose the fact that he would evict Kelsey in a Final Four situation and not take her forward, you can't make everybody happy in a house meeting situation, which is it just doesn't work. And that's what it seemed like he was trying to do. He wanted them all to be happy, and that's not what a house meeting is for, as Alex correctly points out. Lastly, though, I will say this, that the house guests don't realize it yet, but the one good thing they are doing by getting rid of Joel here, if that's what they end up doing, is they're removing a massive jury threat. Because I have listened to the jury interviews from the people who are currently on the jury. I think Joel wins in a walk. I don't think I didn't think before I read all of those that he would, but I think he beats anybody. I think he beats the brothers, Kelsey, Cassandra, Tim. I think Joel wins against anybody. So by getting rid of him, at least they all have a chance to win the game. But Joel's behavior this week has really rubbed me the wrong way. I started to warm up to him, but now my irritation is back in full blast. I can't stand him. He's terrible, Big Brother. He's just everything was awful this week. What the hell game was he playing?
I mean, part of it, I will say this, and I'm biased because I really do care for Joel and I have an affinity for the man, but I think that, you know, Joel's talked about this, right, on the feeds, Taryn. He's got some mental health issues. I mean, I feel like that is a little bit of, like, where some of this stuff is coming with. He's talked about his depression and stuff like that, and I genuinely think, I mean, when he says he wants to self-evict because he feels so bad, I genuinely think that's how he felt. I don't think it was strategy. I don't think it's him giving up. I think it's him saying, wow, I let my friends down. I'm a piece of crap. I'm gonna be like JP now. This is awful. Let me just get out of here. Let me just go home. Taryn, what do you think about that?
That's 100% correct. Like, you can see the devastation in his face. Like, the same way he attached himself to LaVita, he attached himself to Cass and Tim. And when Tim was upset with him after the veto, he was devastated. And then, you know, thinking that he was going to be the reason that Cass went home, he legitimately was thinking, like, can I just leave for you? I don't want to take this away from you. Like, he's probably somebody that doesn't, you know, have a lot of, you know, close people in his life, and he feels very close to these people, and he doesn't want to let them down. And as far as, like, what he's thinking, being so honest, the brothers were telling him, like, were giving him advice because the brothers still wanted to keep him, and that's why I think the vote was, you know, going to flip back. And they were telling him, you know, Cass has been really honest with us. If you're really honest, then we can move forward with you. So he's thinking, oh, I need to be 100% honest, not realizing that Cass was honest and then started lying again, and he's being honest and continuing to be honest, and he doesn't really understand that there, you know, there's a difference there. There's a very important difference. So I think that's where his head is at, and it's obviously the wrong place. And obviously he's also very down about the whole situation, but I think that's where Joel is.
Yeah, like, I don't want to come down too hard on Joel, obviously. I mean, it's tough. Like,
oh, really?
He's been in there a long time. You know, like, obviously there's a lot of, you know, Joel is where he is. Like, there's nothing we could do about it now. But, like, the reality is, like, Big Brother's a tough game. And, like, we talk about this from a game standpoint. So it's not for us to sit here and coddle him at all. You know, we're supposed to be talking about the inner workings of a strategic game. Like, I can't help but wonder how Joel would, you know, this is, like, the first situation this season that he's really had any pressure put to him at all. Like, I just can't help but wonder, like, what if there was a Russell from BB11 in the house? Like, there's plenty of, like, I can't help but, like, he would have folded, like, a sweaty stack of pancakes in week two. Like, there's a lot that's legal in this game that you have to be capable of dealing with. And Joel, I don't know how or why, he just kind of, like, slipped through casting, or they don't check for, like, certain, you know, it's hard to, I guess, know how people will respond to certain high-pressure situations, but Joel has not responded. Like, that's all there is to it.
Yeah, I will say, like, it doesn't change the fact that what he's doing is really dumb, but, you know, without this situation happening, again, like, Joel is playing a game where all he needed to do is continue to get just a little bit lucky, and Joel is probably our winner. You know, if Tim doesn't win that veto, we're still probably looking at Joel as the most likely winner of this game. But, you know, and again, that kind of shows the level of play we're at right now, where there's the slightest bit of adversity and he completely crumbles, and the moves that he has made have been absolutely terrible, regardless of whatever emotional things he's going through. You know, that's part of the game, and he has to deal with that. I feel sympathy for him, but, you know, it's the way it is.
I mean, it is what it is at this point. But I think that's why, for me, going back to some of our player rankings podcasts that we did, guys, in the off season, that's why for me adversity is a big one, because it really, I think, exposes you as a player. I think if you can't, there's a lot of people that have started off really strong and they get to a certain point of the game, but as soon as they face adversity, you know, they just completely crumble and fold, and it looks like that's what's really happening with Joel. Brent, what is, as of this moment, let's say Joel's going to go home tomorrow, I think that's what the consensus is at this point, what's Joel's Big Brother legacy?
I'm sorry. I. You know, I know that Alex said he's not going to dump on Joel, and maybe Taryn's not either. But I can't help but dump on him, and I know you feel for him, JP. You know, he took up one of the casting spots. He's now in the game playing. He's in the final five. Literally could have been the winner, and he's just played and acted so terribly this week. I really don't have a lot of compassion for him, I'm sorry to say, because I do feel like there was an element of gameplay to some of it. And then on this whole learning disability thing or his depression, that was really the first I've ever heard of it coming into this week. And Kelsey said the same thing. I had never heard of it on the feeds before. So it just conveniently got brought up when he faces a little bit of adversity. That really kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And I know that the feeders were just absolutely livid at Joel's continually threatening to quit. Again, when this is the first time he's ever faced any adversity at all. I will say this, though. I not to come back to my Tim and Cassandra, you know, pro rant, but they have done a good job of effectively pointing out to Kelsey and the brothers that Joel can win the game. And Nikki's little, you know, Joel, y'all the winner, and I'll shout it from the mountaintops thing that she said when she was walking out the door is certainly not helping him this week, because anytime they're talking about the jury votes, that's what they come back to. And Joel has said to them in his little speech today, you know, inexplicably he tells them, it's not fair to count the jury votes. You know, yes, it is. We're all playing a game for $100,000, and we have to win over the jury. What are you talking about? You had someone just walk out the door who said 100% she's voting for you, and I think you could get Jared's vote, and I think you could get Mitch's vote. You are dangerous to be taken forward. I'm glad Kelsey has realized that.
Okay, let's take a couple more questions, guys, before we wind things down. This one is from Walter Reed. Walter Reed says, where does the Joel meltdown from 99% safe to basically out the door rank in Big Brother history? Or is it more just Cass and Tim simply being that much better than the competition and Joel just doing a last-ditch effort? Alex, I'll throw this to you. Where does this rank in terms of BB meltdowns?
I don't know where to put it right now. It's like, it's high. I mean, he was really, really safe, and now he's not. And I think a lot of it was his doing, a great lot of it. So it's got to be high. I mean, it's up there. I haven't made this list in my head before, so
right.
It would take me some time.
Off-season podcast, top 10,
top 5. I don't know. It's up there.
Yeah. I can't think of a final five scenario where somebody has gone from so safe to so dead in the water based mostly on their own actions. That's a situation that's worse than this one. So
biggest lock for final three to just overnight.
Okay, this one is from Matt W. Matt says, some people online were suggesting the Joel presentation was actually him wanting to tank his game because he couldn't self-evict and go to the jury if he left. Interesting. Brent's shaking his head.
No way. He was definitely in it to win it today. I think he did a terrible job of it, but if anything, the other thing he did was he also showed the house guests, this is not somebody you want to take to the final two, because I know that he was a little bit boring and his points weren't exactly great, but you saw that he was able to, you know, make a presentation, articulate correctly, go down a list of things. That's not somebody you want like Steve and BB17 in the final two. You do not want somebody like that who can present a really, you know, sort of neutral list to everybody and say, you know, vote for me. I tried really hard, like Ian says. You know, I mean, you just don't want anybody near that, anybody like that near the end. I don't think that he was ever trying to tank his game today. I think his play was so bad today during the house meeting because, as you saw, he went from being 99% safe to almost out the door. It's now coming down on him. Oh my God, I should have been way more selfish in this game. Cassandra has been selfish. I need to be selfish. And then you saw what Taryn or Alex said, who was, you know, he was basically double timing it back to try to fix his mistakes and only compounded them in the process, which is understandable. I'll at least give him that.
Okay, this one is from Moose Girl 1996. She says, should Cass cut Tim at Final Four or Final Three? Alex, what do you think?
It's an interesting question, right? Because, like, doesn't Tim represent – if Joel's gone, doesn't Tim represent the only threat to her to win?
I would say probably, right, Taryn?
Yeah.
So then the question really becomes, like, you know, at what point do you want to kind of put it on your shoulders versus, you know, do you really – I mean, it's tough for Cass to, you know, be confident she can beat Tim, like, when all the chips are down at Final Three. So maybe she would feel like she needs to make the move at four, especially if she can get in tight with Kelsey. I think that needs to be a go-to, is to try to see if you can't become Kelsey's number one at this point, because Kelsey is somebody you want to take.
I think she has to clearly keep him until the Final Three. I don't think Kelsey's going to go against the brothers. I think it's kind of a wash between – in Kelsey's eyes, I think it's a wash between the brothers and Cassandra as to who to take forward in the game. So I think she would take the brothers because they've been more loyal. Kelsey's a very emotional player. I think she would want to do it for Jared, bring the brothers forward and get Cass out. So I don't think that that's something that Cassandra needs to consider. She needs to keep Tim until the Final Three, and then that has to be her coup de grace where she just cuts him like John cut Netta at the end. That has to be the way it has to happen.
Taryn, can Cassandra win a Final HOH?
I don't think it's particularly likely. The first two competitions are generally somewhat physical, and she's not particularly good at those.
She'd have to win part two, let's be honest.
Right. And then she's just taking the risk of, like, how physical is that competition going to be? I think that before this week, I would have said she had to cut Tim at Final Four, because I think that Tim probably beats her in any scenario, and she wants to go to Final. I'd rather her go to Final Three with two people who might take her that she can easily beat than, you know, two people that will take her but one she can't beat. But with this week, I think that despite Kelsey claiming that keeping Cass is her move, I don't think the jury will see it that way. I think the jury will see it the way Brent sees it, and they'll think, how did Cassandra manage to somehow get out of this situation? And I think she's going to get a lot of credit, and if she's able to take that credit over Tim, then she maybe has a shot against him, in which case she should definitely want to be in the Final Three with him and obviously cut him if she can. But if she doesn't, she still has an out.
Phil even said in front of everybody that, Cassandra, if you get out of the situation, you deserve the $100,000.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So I do think that sentiment will carry over to the jury.
Did any of you guys see the jury video that was posted on the Big Brother Canada website?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I found that to be very interesting, because based on that, it seems like the bros have – and as somebody who's been in the jury and has been part of those conversations, it seems like the bros have 0% chance of winning the game, because everybody
was
just so mad at the bros. And I thought – no, and that's – I mean – it's interesting, but I thought at least they had a shot because of the competitions, but I guess that's out the window now, guys.
Yeah, it from what it looked like Tim – I mean, I know Brent said that he thought that Joel would beat Tim, but I saw it differently. I saw Tim, I think, could easily beat anybody there, because I saw Mitch expressing, like, I like Joel, but I'm not sure about his game, whereas with Tim, like, everybody was on board. Like, how are we so dumb to have let him get this far? I think that just – based on who Tim is and the way that he came into the game, just getting to the end, like, that's so compelling in itself, plus the fact that he was so good up until Mitch's eviction, and that's how everyone's going to see his game. They're not going to see the flaws quite as much, because the only people that really see his flaws are people like the brothers, and you might say Jared, but Jared got beat by him, so Jared has to respect that. So I really think that Tim,
but
in the end,
will Jared respect that, though? Because
I think he will. I think Jared's very mad at Cass. He's not as mad at Tim, from what I've seen in the video. He respects it from Tim. He hates it from Cass because he was friends with Cass.
But he won't admit that. Yeah, he's friends.
Exactly.
He keeps saying, I was friends with her in the game. No, bitch, you were friends with her back home in Winnipeg or wherever the hell your ass is from, and now you're trying to hold it against her, but you're not being honest with us, or Big Brother won't let you be honest with us, because every time they talked about that, they cut the feet. Oh, God. What was it going to say?
I
haven't seen this video, so I'm encouraged to hear this, that the brothers have zero chance of winning the game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, basically, yeah, Maddie was just going off about the brothers. Everybody agreed. Nikki's not too happy with Tim. Mitch was praising Tim. That's basically what the video is. If you haven't seen it, I recommend you check it out. Go to the Big Brother Canada Facebook page, or you can go to bigbrothercanada.ca, and it's up there as well. Taryn, you had something to say?
I was like, the video basically confirms, I think, what most of us thought the jury would feel. So I don't think it introduced like too much like new information.
Okay, let's take, I think, let's wrap this up. I think there's one more, and then I have a couple more questions of my own to ask you guys. So this one is from Muhammad Abdi. Alex, I'll throw this to you. What is or was harder to do? Cass and Tim potentially convincing Kelsey and the brothers to keep Cass, or John and Netta convincing the Gremlins to keep Adele and to vote out Arlie?
Like, objectively, the harder sell is the Gremlins because they're not nearly as logical as Kelsey. And that's, like, Kelsey's not the most logical person yeah. either. So that's really something.
No, I don't think it's even close. I think that the Gremlins, it was a fairly obvious decision for them to keep Arlie in the game. Like, that was what they should have done. And Netta and John managed to convince them not to do the thing that was very obviously good for their game. Whereas Cass managed to convince Kelsey to do what was probably best for her game in the first place. So there's a lot less she had to do. So I think by far John and Netta is the more impressive feat.
I would just hate having to engage in any kind of negotiations with Sabrina. That sounds that's rough.
I invited you to my house, Alex! I invited you!
Big brother, I'm done. I'm out. I'll take my 11th place stipend now or whatever. I can't handle it.
Fun side note, when we were in the house last year and John Party came in and visited in the baby costume, I think John maybe said 10 words because I don't think he was allowed to talk too much, but he was asking how we were doing, and Bobby was like, he's like, yeah, you know, I'm really struggling with slop, like this isn't good, and he said, well, I don't know about you guys, but you know, you guys, it looks like you're struggling, but hey, you guys didn't have to live with Sabs last year. 1 minute with her and all of you guys would be self-evicting. So there you go. I think the sentiment is shared, Alex, amongst some of the BB Cantu people. But it'll be interesting to see when Sabrina's back on All-Stars. I'm really looking forward to watching that. Okay, let me ask you guys a couple questions here. Brent, right now, what is the vote going to be specifically tomorrow? Is it going to be unanimous that Joel goes home? Is it going to be a tie and then Kelsey's going to break it? What's the situation?
It looks like the brothers are going to go along with Kelsey's plan here, although I did hear Kelsey say earlier in the week that, you know, wouldn't it be fun for if it came down to me? Kelsey, you know, wants to be the tiebreaker vote. So I actually don't know where it is. I think right now the brothers are probably going to vote with Tim to keep Cass, and that's just going to be the end of it. Everybody agree with that or not?
They did say to Cass that they still might change their mind and vote the other way, but Kelsey isn't going to flip either way, so it doesn't really matter.
Okay.
Okay, sounds good.
And more empty threats from Phil and Nick. What do you know?
You better throw this veto. This HOH. That's what they said.
Or else, yeah.
Oh yeah. We haven't even mentioned the treaty, the final three treaty alliance.
Oh right.
Of,
right. So much stuff Tim, to talk about. To go ahead and fill them in. Yeah.
Tim, Kelsey, and the brothers have made this treaty to say that, you know, whoever it is that stays this week is going to go next week, and the three of them are going to be the final three. Obviously, Tim has no, you know, desire to follow through with that. They have no desire to keep Tim against their own interests. So it's basically just like wallpaper. There's no point to it. But it's funny. It's funny. I think it's like Tim has done an interesting job in reintegrating himself after the blow up. And that is again, I think, what he has done well and what Cass has also done well is, like, somehow, despite always being together, they've managed to separate themselves in the eyes of, you know, Kelsey and the brothers.
If only Newport could have done that last season. Oh, man, that would have been so helpful.
Well, all you needed to do, apparently, was just say, yeah, we're not together anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't try that. Would have worked, baby.
You'd get to, like, Final Four, and they'd be in there, and the brothers would be like, I wonder if Jordan and Zach are working together at all.
Yeah, you could still be hanging out in the pantry all, you know, all the time, and all you needed to do is just say, no, we're not together.
Oh, man, that would have been so... Man, if only Cass could have gone back in a time machine and given us a strategy session, that would have really Cass and Tim, that would have really helped. Okay, so Alex, looks like Joel's gonna go home. What's gonna happen on Thursday? This is a 2-on-2. It looks like really moving forward. So if you had to take a guess, what's the final three gonna be?
If I had to guess, I would say the final three will be Tim, Cassandra, and Kelsey.
Yep. Tim, Cassandra, and Kelsey. Brent and Taryn, you guys are nodding your heads. You guys are.
I co-sign that.
Yeah. Keeping Cass is good for Kelsey, so her odds are better.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go out on a limb. I am going to say the final three is going to be the Bros, Kelsey, and Cass. I think Tim is going to go home this week. I think the Bros are going to win this HOH because Nick is playing, not Phil. And so I think there's going to be a little bit of an upset, and we're going to see, it's really been a roller coaster ride for Cassandra and Tim recently. I mean, it's just been up and down, and we're on an up right now, so I think we're going to be going down very soon. But really what it comes down to is the veto competition, so that will be the most interesting thing. Any final thoughts from you guys?
I don't know. I think it's been an amazing season. I really am pleased with this season. I'm glad to see that it's not all about the competitions, even when we think it is. And I will admit to Taryn that I did also think it was about the competitions earlier this week, but I was glad to see that I at least was proven wrong. I love the passion that's coming from Tim and Cass. I'm glad to see that Kelsey, even though she's been dead to me since she was evicted, she is using her head at this point. I think that she actually has a decent shot, Kelsey I'm talking about, to win the final four veto. It's usually some, put these dates in order, or when, what happened when, or who was connected to who. And Kelsey seems to be pretty smart, and she's been studying a lot. So I wouldn't bet against her.
Taryn, thoughts or anything that we did not talk about today that you would like to briefly touch upon?
Well, I still think it comes down to the competitions. I think that if it hadn't come down to the competitions, somebody from Freak Show would not be going home this week. The fact that they didn't win the competitions meant that one of them had to go home. And it's going to be the same thing for Final Four, and it's going to be the same thing for Final Three. It'll just come down to, who's going to win the competitions.
Who is going to win the competitions?
Was he talking then? I didn't hear what he said. Anyway, Alex, what do you have to say?
It's probably for the best.
Well, Alex, I'll let you speak, but I do have one special question. I found this, and I figured you would probably be the perfect person to ask. This one comes, and I don't know if this is Laura or Lara, how you want to say it. She says, anyone have any subtopic ideas for my What's Wrong with Big Brother Canada essay? Alex, where should she start?
It's been a fun ride
before we start this.
It's been a fun ride this season, hasn't it, Jordan?
Oh, it's been a blast.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's ups and downs, and we love covering this, and that's why we want to see it be as much fun as it could possibly be. So, when certain things get introduced, like obviously there weren't as many twists this season as last season. That's great. The few twists that were introduced, a little too powerful for my taste. I think the idea of giving somebody live feeds, and people have made the comparison with Allison and Scott and those guys seeing live feeds, but it's just so night and day once you've played with people, and then you get to leave and watch how they play when you're gone, and then go back in with information. Like, to me, that was way too strong. Getting to consult with family, getting to talk with family was a little much for me too. Like, if you are at the point where you think they're breaking down so much in day 70 something that they need a family visit, just shorten the season, man. It doesn't need to be this long as it is, really. I mean, and I just think there's a couple ways to clean it up that could make the experience a little more enjoyable. Some of these shows maybe not drag as much. I think some of these intro packages are a little dumbed down and extra long for my taste, especially when it's just stuff that they recap the last two episodes, so there's room for improvement, but we love this show, that's why we're not sitting here saying I'm over it, we're talking about ways it could be the best thing ever, so it's a big difference.
Yeah, trying to improve the show, not saying, sometimes it's hard, but, we're trying to stay positive. That's really what it comes down to. Also, just to fill the quota, Yeah, Mitch got screwed. I just wanted to say that as well, just in case we didn't hear that enough tonight. Needed to say that at least twice for this episode with all you guys. Okay, that is going to do it for this edition of the Rehappy Hour. Thank you to everybody for tuning in. Again, sorry for the issues with the scheduling, but I think this was a really fun show, and I'm very happy that everybody was still on board and still came in and watched this one. We had a decent audience, so thank you very much. Again, as I mentioned earlier, we will be back Sunday night after the episode to preview, talk about the Final Four and all that stuff. It's really coming to crunch time, so that should be a ton of fun. And don't forget, Friday, Rob Cesternino will have an exit interview. He will also be talking to Kevin Martin, the better half of the Fortress, live at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on robiswebsite.com with Alex Kidwell. Should be a very fun show. I'm trying to think of the hashtag, and I'm just looking in the chat. There's nothing that really comes to mind, and I don't really want to mess around. So, the BB president, I think we're going to give it to him. He says, hashtag call Joel maybe. And, this has really two purposes because, one, we saw him sing Call Me Maybe. We also, I think Joel's going to need some support after the season. So,
don't maybe, call me.
Yeah, so maybe call Joel, send him some love after the season.
He didn't put his digits out on the live feeds, did he? That was just other people.
No, yeah. that was just my boy Ramsey. But or was it Jared? I don't know who it was.
Jared and Kelsey.
Jared and Kelsey. Yeah, that's okay.
Can I have that number? I need that number after the show.
You already have Jordan's number.
Yeah, you have my number, Brent. I don't know what's wrong with that. I'm the real Jared, right?
Right.
Anyway, thanks, guys, for joining us. Don't forget to subscribe. Go to robiswebsite.com/rehappyhour. While you're there, leave a rating and a review. And for three lucky people, you can potentially win a prize that is Jordan Parhar related at the end of the season. And that's about a week away. So I will be announcing that on the finale show. So get those ratings and reviews, and it helps the podcast grow. And it really helps me out a lot. So if you could do that, that would be very much appreciated. All right. So for Alex Kidwell, Brent Wagema, and Taryn Armstrong, I'm Jordan Parhar. Hashtag call Joel maybe. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Peace out. The theme song of the Reality TV Rehappy Hour is written and performed by Ryan Elder. Check out more of his work at ryanelder.music.com.